Good morning. I only wish this community could be a little more friendly, and I'd feel comfortable. Really, this weekend has been a joy for me. I do a lot of traveling, and but once in a while you find a place that actually feels more like home than other places, and this is certainly fits that description. The hospitality and the warmth and the kindness have been overwhelming, so thank you for that, and welcome to those of you who don't usually come to a place like this. My name is John. I've been pastor in the local church for a couple decades now. I'm now a polarizing public figure. That was not the plan. Yeah, if you're here and your plan is to be a polarizing public figure, get a better plan, right? But I'm trying to be in the world an expectation-defying Christian. I'm trying to be a person of faith, speaking a different voice of faith than many are hearing in the world. I imagine you are too. That's why you're here. So please get comfortable for the next 6 hours that we have together during this message. You know, I've been traveling around the country talking about the bigger table, talking about the things that I write about. And I fly most of the time doing that. I've traveled about 85% of the weekends this year. And now to most people, that sort of plane travel stuff would be fun and exciting, and it is that, but it's also a little bit disconcerting for me, because when I'm on a plane, I begin to realize that I'm in a large metal tube shooting through space, and that maybe I shouldn't be. You know, I begin to fear kind of starts to creep in, and but recently I was traveling to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I was having an enjoyable time on the plane as much as anyone who is sure they're going to die in a plane can have. So I'm in my little elementary school-sized seat, comfy, right, the middle seat, and I have my Dixie cup of soda and my Barbie doll-sized bag of pretzels. I got my earbuds in, and I'm enjoying myself until my enjoyment is interrupted by the voice of the captain. I know it's the voice of the captain because he says, folks, it's the captain. And he says, you're going to ask the flight attendants to return to their seats to ask you to put on your seatbelts because it's about to get a little choppy. Choppy. See, I know that word. I've heard that word before. And he goes on to talk about weather systems that we're approaching. And he says again, we could hit a little bit of chop. And chop is captain speak for we are about to be shaken like a snow globe in the hands of an angry toddler. Right? Choppy means I'm about to contemplate my mortality one more time next to a complete stranger. And choppy means that I'm about to make a lot of promises to God for a safe landing that I don't intend to keep, right? But the captain in his way was saying to us, listen, turbulence is coming, right? And as a Christian, this sort of concept is familiar to me because in the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking to his students and he's getting ready to leave them and he's trying to encourage them. And he said, I say these things to you so that because in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And Jesus is saying to those who would follow him in the ways of compassion and mercy and love and justice, turbulence is coming. And so I suppose I am here all the way from Raleigh, North Carolina to tell you, turbulence is coming. Actually, I'm a bit late, aren't I? I think turbulence arrived before me, an earlier flight. Have any of you experienced turbulence on your life's journey to the moment that you find yourself in? Anyone? Turbulence? No, you're all fine. You're all fine. I bet when I say turbulence to you, you can name exactly what or who is the source of that turbulence in your life today. I bet you've got a list ready, right? These are especially turbulent days for all of us, aren't they? Most of us at any given moment are weathering storms. We are always experiencing the shaking that comes from being a human living here, right? There is always some sort of shaking that we are experiencing. As we live alongside people, as we walk into our identities, as we love people, as we engage the world, we're going to experience turbulence in the form of opposition and conflict and criticism and pain. things that are going to bring us worry, things that are going to bring us grief, things that are going to come with anxiety, right? And fear and turbulence always come as a package deal, don't they? The storms come, they create anxiety, and when turbulence comes, we have a choice to make. We choose peace or we choose fear. And often, fear can be pretty darn persuasive, right? Fear knows exactly what we need to hear to buy in. Fear knows exactly the buttons to push, exactly the words to use. This is true of the storms in our lives. It's true of the storms in our home. I live with human beings and animals, and there are different responses to the storms. See, when the storms come, our dog, I know the storm is coming because our dog is nowhere to be found, and when I look, I find the dog in the bathtub. So I say, oh, good, a storm is coming. She's like a little furry meteorologist, right? So she gets frozen. She's shaking. Now, my daughter, who's 8, has had the habit of when storms come and she hears that thunder, she begins to get hyper and frantic and she begins to cry. And so there's two responses to fear, being frozen or being frantic. And I wonder what your response to the shaking in your life these days has been. Sometimes we just multitask, right? See, fear is universal. It comes with our operating systems. None of us are immune to it in this room, right? No one can escape its debilitating side effects. No matter how much we try to fortify ourselves, no matter how defensively we try and live, no matter how earnest our faith, we can't avoid it. Our politics, our religion, the color of our skin, the amount of zeros in our paychecks, like none of these things make us immune to the terror that comes from people and from circumstances. Turbulence comes, shaking comes, and fear is there waiting in it. And the gut-wrenching thing that I've found as I've gotten older about my fear is that this fear matures along with us, doesn't it? Like, our nightmares grow up as we do. When I was 5, I was deathly afraid of one of the Sesame Street Muppets. I'm not going to tell you which one. I don't want to prejudice you. But I used to think that this Muppet was after me. I used to have nightmares about this Muppet. I used to go around the back of the TV to hide, and the Muppet would say, I see you, John Pavlovitz, behind the TV. Terrible, right? But, you know, friends, I'm 49 years old. I want to say I have overcome my fear of Muppets. We've made a deal, right? We're good now. Our childhoods may have been plagued with vampires and ghoulish monsters under the bed, right? Things that seem largely ridiculous now to our adult selves, except for circus clowns. I'm still afraid of those. We don't let ourselves off the hook when adulthood approaches. We don't escape fear. We never outgrow it. We don't discard fear as a traveling companion. We just get more age-appropriate models. Like, we leave behind creepy baby dolls, right? We leave behind shadowed boogeymen in the closets, but we pick up other fears, don't we? We pick up financial disaster. We pick up the fear of relational collapse. We pick up the fear of nuclear war. We pick up the fear of dying alone. We pick up the fear of worrisome spot on CAT scans. As a result of this ever-maturing fear, we are always susceptible to a poverty of courage, to a wealth of fear. One of my favorite musical groups, the Indigo Girls, have this song. It's called Kid Fears. And the chorus says, are you on fire from the years? What would you give for your kid fears? Right? What would you give for the easy stuff, the stuff that seems so trivial now, right? I bet you understand what it's like to look back with nostalgia on the things that used to frighten you, right? Now they're so small. They're so insignificant. You're so much bigger than them, but not the things you fear right now. Not the stuff that is causing the shaking right now. You don't look at that with love. You don't have any good feelings towards that. It's just terrible, right? Fear is an equalizer. Because regardless of the things that trigger our fear, those responses in us are universal. That being paralyzed, that being stuck, right? Unable to move. or that feeling of being frantic, unable to rest. And you may have come here unable to move or unable to rest, and neither of those places is a place that God wants you to stay. What is the condition of your soul today? What is the net result of all the shaking you are experiencing? I've been reading a book called Jesus and the Disinherited by an African theologian named Howard Thurman. And Howard talks about fear, and he says, fear is universal, but not all fear is created equal, because not everyone experiences fear to the same degree. He talks about the specific fear that marginalized communities are exposed to. And he says that helplessness that marginalized communities tend to feel is one of the greatest sources of threat that they have, because the oppressed person, the marginalized person, the vulnerable community member experiences fear not just in the situation, but they feel as though the whole system is against them, right? So they begin to doubt their capacity to get through. They begin to doubt their capacity to withstand all the pressures. He says this about fear: the ever-present fear that besets the poor, the economically and socially insecure, is a fear of still a different breed than we feel in normal days. It is a climate closing in, like the fog in San Francisco or in London. It is nowhere in particular, yet everywhere. And see, what I've learned in my journey about fear is that my privilege is a fear insulator, right? My privilege is a barrier to the things that terrorize many people. So if you've ever had internet and phone service and cable and you get it bundled because it's cheaper, right? I'm white, male, cisgender, heterosexual, Christian. I have the privilege bundle, right? I have all the things that keep fear out. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to have terrifying days. It just means I'll never understand the particular fear of walking through this world as a gay person. It doesn't mean I'm not gonna have really difficult times and feel completely overwhelmed. It just means I'll never have the experience that a person of color has in this country, right? It doesn't mean that I am not gonna have questions and have struggles. It just means I'll never understand what it's like to be a Muslim right now. And so we begin to understand that we who do have any sort of privilege, our responsibility is to leverage that privilege so that we become peace givers and not fear bringers to people who are experiencing more turbulence than we are. Right? Our responsibility is to speak bravely. It is to be courageous in the face of injustice. It is to be loud about the value of human life. That's how we come to the aid of people who are experiencing more shaking than we'll ever know. So where does fear come from in our lives? It comes from the lack of control, doesn't it? The idea that we can't control what we're experiencing. If I lose control, which I love control, I'm going to fill that space with fear. That's why turbulence on an airplane is so terrifying to me, because I realize I'm powerless to change the present conditions that I find myself, right? I texted one of my hosts for this talk in Albuquerque as I was getting on the plane, and I said, getting on the plane, getting ready to take off, and she gave me some encouragement, or so she thought. She said those words that people say to you when you're on a plane to encourage you that do you no good. She said, okay, be safe. I texted her back, I'm just going to be sitting here. You tell that to the pilot and the weather. See, because the pilot and the weather are outside of my control, and it's easy to think that my peace or my fear rests in those things outside of my control, that my peace or my fear rests in the hands of the pilot and the weather. But that's not true, right? I can't affect the pilot or the weather, but I do have control in the turbulence. I do have control over my inner weather. There's a story in the Gospels in the New Testament about sort of a living parable about living with fear. I want to paraphrase it, but Jesus is with his students, and they're at the edge of the water, and Jesus says, let's go to the other side. Let's get in the boat. And so they get in the boat, and they're having a great time. It's like a three-hour tour. What could go wrong, right? And all of a sudden, the storm kicks up, and these young students, they begin to get frantic. They get crazy, and they're looking for Jesus. They go to find him because they know Jesus will bail us out, literally. And Jesus is in the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a cushion. And so they rile him awake, and they say, Jesus, don't you even care if we drown? Look at this. And he says, why are you afraid? Do you still not have faith? And then he says, peace, be still, to the winds and the waves, and they died down. And the students say, who is this guy that the winds and the weather listen to him? See, the disciples, Jesus' followers, they experience literally a flood of fear, and the storm comes, as this happens in our lives. When the storm comes, panic comes with it. And they're overwhelmed with fear, even though they know the path that they've been on, even though they know who invited them, even though they've seen Jesus do beautiful, life-giving things, they know exactly who he is, they're still overwhelmed by what they see, and they let what they see forget what they know. And I want you to think about the fears that you're experiencing right now, and how are you letting the fear in front of you make you forget what you know? What you know about the character of humanity, what you know about the goodness of God, what you know about the beauty of diversity, all of these things. The students of Jesus, they freak out and they look for Jesus to bail them out, and he's power napping in the back of the boat, right? The reason why Jesus is sleeping is not because he doesn't care. He's sleeping because he knows who he is. He knows who he is, and he knows the storm, and he knows that the storm cannot overwhelm who he is. That's why the pilot of my plane is not freaking out by the turbulence, because he understands it, right? He has the threat right-sized. The challenge we have today as we experience shaking is to have those threats right-sized so that we don't give them more power than they deserve, so that we don't see them as bigger than they are, so that we understand just how much capacity we have to withstand the shaking. And the choice we have to make, see, the question is not whether or not we are going to be placed within storms. The question is how much of the storms we're going to allow to be placed within ourselves. Are we going to be internally turbulent in turbulent times? Because if we are, if we become innerly turbulent, we're going to be part of the fear bringers in the world. We're not going to be able to have the energy to be the peace givers in the world. Howard Thurman says of the marginalized communities, this accumulated exposure to suffering and fear begins to change who they are. It begins to make them alter their very personalities, their very behavior to try and mitigate some of the pain. I bet you know this, because I bet some of the shaking has changed you in your life, right? I bet you've operated differently. See, I, in high school, I was in ninth grade, and there was a senior, and he and his friends really were bullies to my friends and I, and I started to learn one thing about the school. I learned where his locker was. And I learned that if I wanted to get past his locker, I could either go directly past it or if I could go around it. And so I began to go around it and take a different way, right? It began to alter how I'd lived, right? And so that's what we have to remember about fear. When our outer circumstances begin to change our internal condition, and when they alter our behavior or change our plans or edit our dreams or cause us to second guess our own goodness and beauty, the fear has us. You may recognize some of the storms in you lately, irritability and impatience and physical illness and eating emotionally and addictive behavior and an inability to be present to people you love and a fixation with social media or just dwelling all the time on how bad everything feels. Maybe that's how the fear has gotten into you. The fear bringers in the world say you're unworthy, you're unwanted, you're incapable, you're unloved, you're outmatched. But the peacemakers in this world say you're strong and safe and loved and valuable. For Howard Thurman and for Jesus, fighting fear is a matter of identity. It is remembering who you are and whose you are, remembering the road that you've traveled and knowing just how strong you are to face the things that shake you. Fighting fear is about knowing the things that no one can take away from you and nothing can rob you of. Being a member of a marginalized community, Howard Thurman says, it's but a step from being despised to despising oneself. He says, when we let the outside fear in, this happens. We begin to agree with the bullies. We begin to consent to the liars. We begin to conspire with the people who would cause us fear. So whether your turbulence is experienced or delivered by a cruel family member or a former friend or a stranger on social media or a predatory politician or a brimstone preacher or a corrupt system or a former family member, remembering who you are and whose you are is critical. The disciples are freaking out in the boat. Jesus is sleeping. God is not overwhelmed by the things that overwhelm you. God is not surprised by the adversity or danger. God is not taken aback by the trouble we face. God is not intimidated by your questions or your doubts or your complete collapse of faith. I love the story about Jesus and the disciples in the boat because eventually they get to the other side and they look at the storm that they just passed through and they said, I'm in awe of what I just made it through. And I bet the shaking in your life that's come before this, you can stand here and say, I can't believe I made it through that, but I did, right? I want you to understand the present shaking in that context. I want you to realize that there is a place beyond this place in time where you're going to stand and look back at how you feel right now and think, I got through it. I learned from it. I grew from it. I'm better. I'm stronger. I understand life more fully. Do not fear is the most common command in the Christian Bible, and yet it's the one we Christians least follow. Do not fear is the golden tether running through everything, and it says, if you trust in something bigger than yourself, you will find that you are cared for and you are loved and you are secure, even though evidence to it is contrary. I want you to think about your own shaking, but I want you to think about something else. Everyone around you is experiencing turbulence, right? It doesn't matter the color of their skin or how they voted or their theology. The people standing next to you in the grocery store line, the people passing you in traffic, the people you see on social media, the people you sit across from at the kitchen table. Everyone has storms that they're experiencing. Everyone is susceptible to fear, and you can be a peace giver. So my daughter, I told you that when the storms come, she would get frantic. Now, I haven't been able to help my dog, by the way. The dog is just going to be my dog, I think. But my daughter, when she would get really frantic in the storms, I decided, well, okay, Daddy's going to take you out on the porch. And we're going to sit on the porch, and we're going to watch the storm. And I began to tell her what the lightning was and how the thunder was happening. And her body began to still, and her heart rate began to get quieter and slower. And now, whenever the storms happen, when she hears thunder, she goes, Dad, let's go out and watch the storm together, right? She just did it the other day before we left on Thursday. And I realized, you know, what I did for her was I explained to her, I gave her the reality of the storm, but I also let her know that I would be present with her in it. And I right-sized the storm for her. My prayer for you is that you may have your fears right-sized, that you may strive to be a peace giver and not a fear bringer in a world where there is so much shaking. May you find rest in your storms. And may you not allow the turbulence around you to create a storm within you. So I leave you the words of Jesus to the wind and the waves. Peace. Be still. Thank you.
Kind. Thank you for sharing your sweet spirit with us. You really have been a delightful guest. We've been honored to have you.